In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We commenting on the Gospel of St. John, on chapter 4, the Samaritan story. Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." By saying so, she admitted that what he had said is true, because he said that she had 5 husbands and the one now is not a husband. So, by admitting this, she confessed that, yes, I had this bad history. So, because of her love, because of her respect, because of her confidence happened in her heart, now she can say, yes, that's real history. I am the sinner. So God helped her to confess. That's a very important message for everyone. Somebody cannot confess, cannot admit his past history because of shame, because of fear, because of darkness, because of hurt. But with love, with respect, with fatherhood, with active listening, the one can open the heart, can show that he needs this forgiveness and this gift of salvation. "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet," meaning that you know everything. "Our father worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem, in the place where one ought to worship." So I guess that she changed the subject quickly because it's not an easy subject. She cannot speak much about her past. And our Lord Jesus Christ was very humble, very kind. He did not focus much on the past. He moved on, answering the question of worshiping, because it's not an easy thing for anyone to speak much about the black history, the past history. So she pushed him to move on, speaking about anything different, but spiritually. And she thought of worshiping God. This means that this woman had love in her heart to God. She wished to worship God, but she felt like, "I can never worship him in this condition. I'm a sinner. I cannot come closer to God. But now with the forgiveness, with the living water, with such a teacher, I think I can worship God. I need to pray now." So she is starting to ask about praying. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." Yes, there is a mountain called Mount Gerizim, famous to the Samaritan people. They believe that this one is a holy place. And they taught their people to worship God in this place, not to go to Jerusalem, because they are not in good terms with the Jew people. But because her heart was open to anything, now she can, you know, accept the truth given by Christ. So she said, "You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." She still have the mind of the Jew people, like where to worship, what to do exactly. But in Christian worldview, it's not the place, it's not the action in itself. It's the heart, it's the spirit, it's the love. That's the answer of our Lord. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." So he's freeing her from the place and from the ritual. He's saying, it's not here or there, it's now, it's here, it's the heart. So, believe me, the hour is coming, the hour of redemption, the hour of the new covenant, the hour of being children of God, the hour of knowing the real God and real teaching of new life. "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So Christ said that Samaritan people do not know exactly who is God. because of the deviations happened in their history and the pagan side in their mind, and they started to worship many idols, not only God of the Jew. That's why the Jew people hate them. So Christ said, you do not know God, but we the Jew knew God. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is not related to the Jewish teaching, but is out of the Jew. Because Christ started in the Jewish condition, upon the Jewish tradition. He was a Jew in his character, but he is God incarnate. He is the Savior of all human beings. He came to invite everyone to salvation. But the hour is coming, and now is. Look to this. The hour is coming, and it's now. It's now because the hour is related always to the presence of God. So Christ is here now, so it's the hour. Now it's the time to know God, because God came to us. So it's not after many years. It's not in the far future. It's now, because Christ is here. That's why he said, the hour and now, it's now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That's important. Yes, we are worshiping one God, God the Father, but through the Spirit with the Son, because we cannot approach the Father without his Son. We cannot know the Father without his Son. We cannot see God the Father but in his Son. We cannot say God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit without the Spirit. Christ is the truth, and the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth. And by Christ and the Holy Spirit, we can worship the one God. That's why Christ said it this way. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So, God the Father is seeking everyone, but he needs the truth in worshiping. It's not just the act of worshiping. What exactly you worship? Do you know God? Who is your God? But when you know the real God, now you start to worship spiritually with the Holy Spirit, not with any other spirit. Because you worship God the Father through the Son into the Spirit. God is Spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Again, he's repeating this revelation, which is very important, that the act of worshiping God needs to name the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we cannot practice worshiping, real, accepted worship, without the Spirit of God and knowing God the Son, who reveals the truth to everyone. Although what we hear now is not an easy thing to accept, but the simple woman, because she loved God, God opened her heart for the knowledge of God. She accepted all what he had said. She accepted the truth of him being the Son of God, the Savior, the Redeemer. And she knew from her past religion that the Messiah is coming. So she felt like, I'm now before the Messiah. This man should be the Messiah. So the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. I think she is saying, you are telling me now everything. You are answering all my questions. You simplified everything. You made it easy for me to know God and to worship God. You are such a beloved man, and not only a man. So I'm expecting the Messiah like others. I guess he will tell us everything. As if she's saying, you have to be the Messiah. That's why Jesus said to her, I, who speak to you, am he. By the way, when Christ saying, I am, he's saying ego eimi in the language, which means I am Jehovah. I am God. I am the one who spoke to Moses, when he asked God, who is your name? I go to tell the Hebrews, God met me. They will ask me, who is his name? So what is his name? I have to tell them an answer. So Christ answered, I am. That I am, ego eimi. So now Christ is saying the same. That's why the Samaritan made sure that he is the Messiah, and moreover she believed that the Messiah is the Son of God, the one spoke to Moses, the speaking to me, the one revealed the truth to me, is the God of the prophets. Now I'm facing the whole truth in him. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. This, you know, directs our attention that the Jew people and even the Samaritan people expected with the coming of the Messiah, they will understand the truth. They will know everything. They will get a perfect answer for all questions. So they knew that the Messiah is coming and he is the full knowledge of God. Jesus said to her, I am. I who speak to you am he. At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The disciples came, and it wasn't easy for them to see Christ, their Lord, their teacher, speaking to such a Samaritan woman, because they never respected such a Samaritan woman. And they wanted to ask him, what does she look for? Why are you speaking to her? But they couldn't ask him. The woman then left because she had no time now, special time with Christ finished, but she felt the love of Christ. And she wanted to tell everyone in the whole world, come and see, I found the truth. Now I know God, I saw him, I touched him, I know the living water, I can feel the new life, come and see. So it's time for her to go preaching his name. The woman then left her water pot, and by leaving her water pot means that she just forgot everything about the past. She denied her past. She does not want to look back. She left the water pot as if saying, I will never drink this water. I need his water. I need the living water. Went her way into the city and said to the man, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. So again, the Samaritan woman became a preacher, like Philip when he went to Nathanael saying, come and see. Like Andrew when he went to St. Peter saying, come and see. Now the Samaritan woman started to be a preacher saying, just come and see. Because God now could be seen, and God on earth, God in Christ, the real God incarnate. So she went happily to the man of the city, saying out loud, I saw him, come, see. And in order to convince them that she is not lying, and, you know, they never expected any good thing of her, so she said it this way, he told me all things that I ever did. So that's the key word, because you know, the one who can know all secrets, definitely this is the man of God. And they will come to see him because they wanted to know who is he, the one who is telling all the secrets. Could this be the Christ? Again, it's a very good lesson for everyone not to push anyone to believe. Just make it like a question. Could be, could it be like this is Christ? Because everyone should know Christ by himself, should choose Christ by himself, should believe him by his decision. In the meantime, his disciples urged him saying, Rabbi, eat, because they went to buy food And it was a long journey, and they spent a long time buying the food. So, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Still, Christ speaking spiritually about the food of knowledge, of knowing God, but they think in a fleshy way that you didn't eat. If anyone brought any food to you, so their mind is still in the usual food. His mind was in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the real food for all servants. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So he's changing their minds. Please think this way. You are my disciples. You are the future pillars of the church. The food is not this food. The food is the will of God. We need to nourish everyone with the Word of God, with the knowledge of God. So Christ is giving them another lesson. Don't think much of what to eat and what to drink. We have a mission in life. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? According to the harvest time, yes, there will be like another 4 months till the time of harvest. But for Christ, he wanted to say the spiritual harvest is always there. Be ready because people are ready to know God. So work the work of God all the time. Don't say it's not the time for the work of God. Maybe it's not the time to eat food, but it's always the time to speak the word of God, to push people to know God. So he said it this way, there are still 4 months and then come the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. The harvest was very important for the farmers of this generation, because that's the beauty of life. That's the real joy of the year, the harvest time. So he made it on a spiritual content, that enjoy working with God, enjoy the fruits of the people, enjoy giving God the spirits of men, enjoy delivering the message of truth to everyone. So he said it this way, you say that we still have like 4 months, I'm telling you it's now. You have to work now and tomorrow. Lift up your eyes and look to the fields. Look at the fields so you can see many people ready to know God. Many people need to know God. Many people expecting to know God from you. So look at the fields. They are already white for harvest. White for harvest meaning that there are many white hearts. Just you need to put the seed of knowledge of God in this white heart. Like the soil, the good soil, they will plant easily. They will give up fruits. Just look at these white people, white-hearted people, because they are ready for the harvest. He who reaps receives wages. So whoever work with God, farming with God, he will receive the wage. And gathers fruits for eternal life. So it's not the fruit of the usual fruits, it's the spiritual fruits, the souls of men for eternal life. Both he who sowed and he who reaps may rejoice together. For whoever do the work of God in the start, in the beginning or in the end, they all will take the reward from God. They will all rejoice the outcome of preaching the word of God. For in this, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. You know, it's like a theme well known by the farmer that not necessarily the one who sows, he is the exact one who reaps. Sometimes the one starting farming is not the same one ending the story or taking the fruits. But in all cases, both will be happy, seeing the fruit of the land. So Christ is pushing the disciples to know the secret of missionary life, how to serve God, how to look up to the people expecting to know God, how to focus on service, not on food and water, how to deliver the message of salvation to everyone. Glory to God. Amen.